Lee Chambers
on Cambridge 105 Radio.
That's Cool and the Gang and Celebration, because we're talking about celebrating the life of Joyce Grenfell. I've got Jane Bauer with me. Good morning, Jane.
Good morning, Lee.
And you're performing a celebration of Joyce Grenfell's life. She's a lady worth celebrating, isn't she?
Well, I think so. There are a lot of people of a younger generation that might not know who Joyce Grenfell was. And a good way of introducing her is that she was Victoria Wood's greatest influence. Victoria Wood, the comedian, said that without seeing Joyce Grenfell when she was a young girl, she would not have even thought of following the career that she did. So, you know, thanks to Joyce, that's one wonderful person we've got from her influence.
And was she... She was an actress as well as a... She kind of did... stand-up, would you call it?
Yeah,
stand-up?
She actually had difficulty deciding what to put on her passport. She said monologuist singer was hideous, so she just called herself an entertainer, but that was doing herself down. She was a remarkable thinker, writer, speaker, musician, as well as an actress and a comedian and monologue writer. But she was very typecast, I feel, as a comedian, and there was far more to Joyce than that, a much deeper side. And what I'm aiming to do in the show, Joyce, A Celebration, is to celebrate the person. And not simply concentrate on the George don't do that, which is a phrase everybody picks up on. Very humorous monologues, but she wrote some very beautifully crafted serious work as well, which I'll be introducing in the show.
And it's 40 years since she died.
Yes.
Her kind of popularity, her peak was when then, the 50s and 60s?
She was born in 1910 and came very quickly to fame at the age of 29, very unexpectedly, when she performed at a party where an entrepreneur was there, a producer of revues, who immediately booked her. So from the age of sort of 29 up to when she died at the age of 69, she was very much in the forefront.
And a very British performer, it seems to me.
Quintessentially English. And that's another thing. There are a lot of impersonators of Joyce about, some very good, but that isn't something I aim to do, because she's very easy to parody. She wasn't just a cut-glass Englishwoman. So I don't actually seek to imitate Joyce in my delivery of the monologues. I met a lot of her friends, including her accompanist, William Blessard, who played the piano for her for many years. And he said, "May you go on keeping the work of Joyce alive." And that's what I want to do in my own way.
Oh, that's a lovely thing to say, isn't
it? Yes,
very
special.
So for people who've never seen her, a flavour of what she does. Because, as you say, they're monologues. She would be a headmistress or a teacher.
She could be absolutely anybody. But as I say, unfortunately, the funny ones tend to be the ones people remember. And they are excellent. So we have the nursery school teacher, which most people associate Joyce with. But there were many other smaller secondary characters who appeared. I shall be doing the foreign wife of a travelling musician, a woman who takes a very difficult telephone call, Shirl, who is a Cockney teenager, and many, many others.
So the show, is it a reprise of the sketches, or is it more about her life, or a bit of both?
It is a bit of both. I'm aiming in this new show to introduce people who don't know Joyce at all, or maybe people who think they do, into what sort of person she was. For instance, her war years, difficult times she went through, the fact that she rebelled against being typecast and was irritated by it. She wasn't just a St. Trinian's type actress. So people have said they found it a very eye-opening evening. One lady remarked she found it a very spiritual evening, because Joyce had a very quiet but deep faith.
And was she a happy person? Because often you hear with these comedians that their private life was quite turbulent and sad.
Yes, I believe she was fueled by her faith. She had a huge optimism, a wonderfully open mind, non-judgmental. And this comes out in her letters to her best friends, some of which I'll be quoting in the show. So, yes, I think if one can use the word happy about someone, she certainly brought about happiness in others in huge measure.
And when did you first encounter her?
I first encountered her at the age of six when I heard my parents listening to the radio and laughing, nay, guffawing at what I took to be some lady who was just talking to herself. And I said, "Mummy, why are you laughing?" And she said, "If you listen carefully, you'll hear that this lady is pretending to be a teacher and the children are not really there, but she's imagining them. So you listen to what she's saying and then you'll imagine the children." And I started listening and I suddenly got it. When Joyce died in 1979, I thought, oh no, you know, what's going to happen to this wonderful work? And I started doing a very low-key solo show about her. And this drew the attention of people, and very gradually I was invited to meet her friends and her biographer and this sort of thing. So it grew from there.
And by looking at her letters and her work, has it given you a deeper appreciation of what she did?
Yes, and I can see why she was annoyed at the way that she was viewed. And I can also see why her beloved husband, Reggie, was very keen to only show the best side of Joyce when she was alive. But she was a human being, you know. She got irritated, she got cross. And I find that altogether much more appealing than just seeing, you know, the sunny side of somebody.
And you've been performing this show all over the country.
I have. This is actually a brand new version of the show with more about Joyce's real life in it. But I've been performing a solo show about Joyce for 40 years in various guises. But this brand new show has just been to the Heron Theatre in Cumbria, which is a lovely theatre where I performed Daddy's Diaries. I was on this show with you a couple of years ago talking about my play Daddy's Diaries. And the Heron Theatre invited me back, and I was blessed with a full house and a waiting list, so really pleased about that.
And I bet you're introducing her to people, to younger people perhaps, who've never encountered her before.
Well, it was absolutely great at the Heron to see two young boys of about 10 and 11 on the front row really sniggering at some of the, particularly the nursery school. But then once they'd got that, they saw the humour in others. And they came up to me afterwards and said, "We're going to Google her," you know, which is praise indeed.
Yeah, so you don't need to know Joyce's work to enjoy
the show. Not at all. I mean, I'd be delighted if people came who'd never heard of this lady. I hope they will.
And it's a solo show, Jane. It's a lot of pressure on you. You're on stage on your own.
I am, but I'm a teacher. I've been a primary teacher all my working life, and I see it as an extension of my teaching. I want to entertain, of course, but I want to grip and compel and inform the people in the audience. So I don't actually get very nervous about it at all. It's a thoroughly relaxing show. It's warm, it's enjoyable, I hope. And in Emmanuel, you get cheese and wine and comfy seats as well. So what's not to like?
Well, nothing not to like there. Yes, Emmanuel United Reformed Church, you're performing it at this Friday.
Yes.
At 7:30, the church on Trumpington Street.
Yeah.
And that's got a bit of a future ahead of it, hasn't it?
Well, it has. I mean, it happens to be my church where I've been attending and performing for around 30 years. But Emmanuel is being taken over now, purchased by Pembroke College, who are going to use it as a beautiful auditorium. And the congregation of Emmanuel United Reformed Church is joining with the congregation of St. Columba's United Reformed Church, which ironically is about 200 yards down the street in Downing Place, and of the same denomination. So we are joining together and refurbishing what is at the moment St. Columba's Church, to be a wonderful new city centre hub, which we're calling Downing Place United Reformed Church.
And that will be used for performances, will it?
Well, it could well be. I mean, I'm actually on the buildings committee, which is exciting. And one of the things we want to do is to use that beautiful building in as many ways as possible. We're seeking to make it into a sort of community hub. It will be a church for worship, but during the week, during the evenings, open to a diverse range of people, indeed open to anybody and everybody to come and use as a space.
That's excellent news, because Cambridge really needs something like that.
Well, we think so, and we've got the ideal venue. It's right next to the Revolution Bar and opposite John Lewis, so it couldn't be more
what,
central,
what
really.
What could you want? Yeah. So it's Joyce's celebration at the Emmanuel United Reformed Church this Friday at 7:30. People can get tickets at your website, which is janebauer.com. You obviously love doing this show, Jane.
I do. I really enjoy it, and it's a privilege to do it because I am doing what her pianist asked and bringing the show, keeping Joyce's work alive and introducing it to new people. So
did she have children or any of her children or grandchildren?
No, she never had children, and that was a source of wistfulness at first, but then she grew to think that maybe her calling was not to be a mother or a teacher. It was to be someone doing this unique thing on the stage. And so she made wonderful relationships with children, all sorts of relatives, and also she took in evacuees during the war, and children loved her, and one can see why. But she was never either a mother or a teacher.
What an interesting woman. Well, janebauer.com is the website to get tickets. As I say, it's Joyce Celebration this Friday at the Emmanuel United Reformed Church, 7:30 kickoff.
Yes, and doors open at 7 p.m.
Lovely. Lovely to talk to you, Jane.
Thank
nice
you,
to
Lee.
See you again.
Thank you.